Okay, you got a question.
I was reading the bulletin recently with my parents. It was talking about the qualities of Krishna, saying that Krishna, his original form, is the only form of the Lord that is full in all six opulences and obviously all of the 64 qualities. But then I was reading in Krishna book recently that his sons are full.
Yes.
His sons from his eight principal wives,
mm-hmm.
Are all full in the same qualities as him, and I was confused how that's possible. Or I was confused as to how that should be understood.
No, six qualities all Vishnu Tattva have, but and other living entities can have them to different degrees, but not to the same extent as Vishnu Tattva. But in terms of manifesting all these 64 qualities of Swayam Bhagavan, that only Krishna does. So other incarnations, they won't have four Krishna's intimate pastimes with the Brijvasis, the nature of those pastimes, his playing the flute, his extraordinary beauty and sweetness. They don't possess those qualities, so they have 60 qualities. And then even different incarnations, they will manifest the 60 qualities to different degrees, or some will exhibit certain individual qualities as just like Prithu Maharaj manifests what it means to be like a perfect king. And in that sense, so does Lord Ramachandra. So Krishna's ability to give protection, and specifically Lord Ramachandra also in terms of very, very strictly following all the rules of Varnashram, which Krishna doesn't do. Yeah. So, Sarayav Shwaya Purnam. So they're full in all six opulences, but in these 64 qualities, personal characteristics, in other words, they're full in divinity, but in terms of personal qualities, they vary. It's something that unless you're a devotee, non-devotees, they just, how can you have one God and at the same time many gods? It blows their minds. And yet, they've got virtual people, copies of people, they're trying to clone people. They talk about expanding yourself. So it isn't that the concept is so foreign, it's also there. And the yogis do it. You know, they do it in a limited way. They expand themselves, but every one of the nine forms does the same thing as the other one does. When they move their right hand, all of them move their right hands. Krishna, he expands unlimitedly, and they look different and do things different, and that's just his God. Something else.
I have one more question. you and nice devotee was talking to us yesterday about how Krishna becomes absorbed in the pastimes himself. And he was saying how, because he was discussing how when Vamadeva killed the demon, he struggled. And then he defeated him, and he said that's part of the pastime, that if Krishna wasn't actually absorbed, if it wasn't actually a challenge, then it would be impersonal, because he would be orchestrating everything himself. So for it to be personal, he has to personally experience the emotions that that particular situation would invoke.
That's right.
And so I wanted to understand, how does this happen? Like, what's the energy that's able to capture Krishna in this way and pull him into these pastimes so that he's simultaneously engrossed, like when you were describing to us him in Vrindavan during the Kartik pastime, that he's really taking on the mood of this young child who's, you know, upset with his mother, and he's acting in this way. He's so engrossed that it's a personal pastime, he's experiencing the emotions, but at the same time he is aware of everything. It's all happening within him. So what is this energy, this potency that's...
So, it's called Krishna's Achintya Shakti. In other words, it's his potency that allows inconceivable things to happen. And that's expressed in our philosophy. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. In other words, we don't have any problem with someone being in one place at one time and then another place at another time. But we do have problem with a person being in one place at one time and another place at the same time. Now that's inconceivable for us. Similarly, you know, we can understand, all right, well, Krishna's absorbed and doesn't know everything. And we can also accept the fact that Krishna knows everything. But we can't figure out how that happens at the same time. How can you know everything and not know anything at the same time? And that's God. That's why he's God, because he has inconceivable potencies. And it's not that the part that knows or the part that doesn't know knows that there's another part that knows. He's fully absorbed. Krishna's fully absorbed. And another feature is that when he is really that absorbed, he fully gives himself over to his pastime potency, his lila shakti. In other words, because he's absorbed in what's going on, it's just like you don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now when you walk out the door. It's not that Krishna knows what's going to happen, so he doesn't know that Mother Yashoda is going to tie him down. He's mugdata, it's called. He's ignorant of that. It's as much of a surprise to him as it is to everyone else. And yet, there's another aspect of him that knows everything. And we're really teeny living entities, and these things, I mean, we don't know anything. I don't even know what's inside this table. I mean, just, it looks like wood to me, but actually it's just atoms. I can't even see what makes up the table. What to speak of, understand how those atoms work. So that's one compulsory ingredient of surrendering to Krishna, is that you have to recognize that for us, we're so small that how he works, what he does, it's inconceivable to us. But beyond that, it's also inconceivable to him. In other words, he becomes amazed at how his potencies work. That makes it even more inconceivable. So we use this word, God, but what it really implies, generally for people, they want to think of God as something that they can fully grasp and understand, but that's not God. And that's what makes Krishna wonderful. Anything else? Harata, I said. But main kala kurdisi tanya shriza prapnudala. Hare Krishna.